Well, okay, my friends. Hello, everybody. Welcome, guys, to the podcast. I'm so happy that you joined me for this. Guys, please be sure and share this and let people know about it. And you're especially going to like today's podcast. Like, why would I like this today more than any other day? I want to tell you because my good friend, Alan DiDio. Like, what? Who's Ronnie James Dio is joining me? You don't know who Ronnie James Dio is. Do you? Do you know who? Okay, right on. Anyway, no, this is a godly version of that. It's Alan DiDio, and he's got this amazing podcast that is called Encounter Today. Wait, you know what? Let's ramp that up just a little bit. Encounter Today. So, my friends, I encourage you to get ready, take notes. Out of all the people who interview me all over the planet Earth, Alan is seriously one of my very, very, very favorite podcasts to do. All right, I'll join you again at the end of this. Here we go.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Encounter Underground. Today we have with us the pastor of Open Door Church from Burleson, Texas. His radio and TV programs cover the globe. He's a missionary, a pastor, an author, a brother in the Lord. Would you welcome to the program Troy Brewer, Pastor Brewer? It's good to have you.
Well, hello, my friend. Bless and peace on you. Thank you so much for having me today.
Man, it's such a privilege. We just recorded our interview on Numbers That Preach, which is going to open a lot of people's eyes. You have so many tremendous resources. The revelation that's coming from your pulpit is out of this world. And I've spoken with people after that interview that said, I've never heard of this guy, but I got the Redeeming Your Timeline study course, and it's changing my life. You have so many great resources. So you are a gift, man. You really are a gift to the body.
Thanks, man. Thank you so much for that. Yeah, I could tell that you'd got the e-course. I haven't actually been through the e-course in a couple of years. I need to go through it again.
Well, it's good stuff. It's timeless.
Thanks.
I want to talk to you about something on the podcast a little bit different. I noticed that going into 2021, early last year, I think it was November 2020, you started talking about the Revelation Report every week. And it seemed, as I looked at it, it seemed less like a good idea and more like a mandate. It's as if the Holy Ghost just kind of pushed this on you to get this message out, which is a study of the book of Revelation. What made you decide to add this to your plate as if you didn't have anything else to do?
Well, you know, ignorance in the pulpit lands in the pews. And I was just, you know what, I cannot say that I'm a prophetic person, and I like to mentor people into prophetic lifestyles of hearing God speak. It's like, it's one of my favorite things in the world to do is to encourage people and tell people, you are a hearer, you are a seer, you can do this, you can have encounters with God. This is for you. This is not for somebody else, it's for you. But what's real is, Pastor Allen, you can't say that you're a prophetic person and be biblically illiterate when it comes to the prophetic. If you're going to understand prophetic things, you're going to know it by the Word of God. And we have to know the Word. And so we just, in going all throughout the world, and I would be talking to pastors, and I would be talking to them about the return of Jesus, or I'd be talking to them about the book of Revelation or whatever. And they'd say, you know, I don't do the book of Revelation. Well, who gave you the choice not to do the book of Revelation? You know, there's 66 books in the Bible, which I'm about to start going off on all the numbers on all that, but you can't just say, I'm just going to make it 65 because I don't want to deal with the book of Revelation. It is so important for us to jump into that, for us to jump into what is in it, the way it's written, how it's written, the words that are in it, and then to look at it, not just through the lens of how I think it's traditionally been looked at, but actually I want to look at the book of Revelation through the lens of the majesty of Jesus. What does it look like when Jesus gets to be the king? That's the book of Revelation. And so we started going through line by line, verse by verse. We're in chapter 12 right now, and we've been doing this for like 6 months. going through the first 12 chapters. Yeah, it's crazy.
And it's all free, all available on your YouTube channel, on Facebook. We're going to make links available in the description of this. It really is phenomenal, and I think it's urgent. We were talking about this before we got started. Why do you think it is that a lot of people, it seems that the more impressed they are with prophecy, as we understand it in the charismatic church, we seem to kind of drift away from an understanding of end-time events and Bible prophecy. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that there's a lot of confusion in the body of Jesus as to what prophecy actually is. And one of the things that's happened in the past 10 years or so that has recently just been corrected in a radical way is that everybody started thinking that that prophecy was the gift of foretelling. Hmm. Prophecy is not the gift of foretelling. Now, foretelling is a part of the prophetic gift, but prophecy is not the gift of foretelling. That's not what it is. We know what the spirit of prophecy is. It's the testimony of King Jesus. Yes. We know that the spirit of prophecy, which, by the way, there is the gift of prophecy, the office of a prophet, and then there's also the spirit of prophecy. And so we can break down all three of those some other time, which I love talking about those three different things. But the bottom line is this, we've really gotten away from knowing God through the kingdom aspect, knowing him biblically, knowing him by the Spirit according to the Word of God, and gotten into, we're going to know him according to the most spectacular gifts around us. And that's not a good thing. And so every now and then, you're just going to have a great reset. And we've had a great reset prophetically here over the past year. And like, wait, we need to rethink this. And anytime that you reset it, you always go back to King, Kingdom, and the Bible. That's what it always goes back to. And so my part of that was actually just say, let's just go all the way through verse by verse by verse, the book of Revelation, and make sure that we understand how God does prophetically speak.
Well, it's always amusing to me to watch empty-headed theologians postulate about what the Lord would think about this church situation or that church situation when we have it spelled out for us in the first three chapters of the book of Revelation. I call them the hidden epistles. We go over what Peter wrote, we go over what Paul wrote with a fine-tooth comb, but everybody stays away from what Jesus actually wrote to the churches. You say in your teaching that the Gospels are a picture of the Father, but Revelation is a picture of Jesus. Unpack that for us.
Wow. Yeah, you know, whenever Jesus showed up the first time, he showed up as a 6-pound bouncing baby Jewish boy. And his mission was to show us the Father. Yes, he had the mission to die on the cross, but that, again, was also a fearless demonstration of the Father, right? Yeah, his mission was to redeem us. But again, it was to put a face on the Father. It was to make that right. You know, we were so messed up on who we thought God was that, you know, the world still likes the idea of Zeus to this day. And I want to tell you, I hate Zeus. I'm no friend of Zeus. I am not. with that said, even at the time that Jesus showed up, everybody thought that the Father was a certain way, and he showed up and he said, that's not the Father, and that's not what the kingdom is. You know, I'm here to put a face on that. The second time Jesus shows up, he doesn't show up to show us the Father. He shows up to show us him.
Wow.
And he showed up as a lamb the first time to show us the Father. He shows up as a lion the second time to show us King Jesus, the majesty of Jesus. Now, whenever we think of King Jesus, we have this strange idea, brother, that, you know, God the Father, he's really the stern one, and he's kind of like the harsh one. Jesus is kind of a hippie, and the Holy Spirit is some kind of Tigger the Tiger. You can't really tell what he is. He just kind of does whatever he wants to do. And what's real is, it's not like that at all. The Father is actually the giving side of God. And if you do a study on everything that's giving of God, that comes from the Father of lights. That comes from the Father, okay? The Father, if there is a pushover side of God, it's the Father. The Father's heart is so amazing.
Wow.
But I want to tell you, King Jesus is a lot more like King David. And he is amazing. He is beautiful. He is one altogether beautiful, right? He is the lily of the valley. He is the most beautiful person ever, 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 ever. But know this, he's a warrior and he has a warrior's heart. And you don't, You don't fool with him. You can slap him in the face and he'll turn the other cheek, but you slap his bride in the face, you will bring his wrath down upon you. And that's what happens in the book of Revelation. And he shows up and says, you've had your chance. I'm going to be the king now, and I'm going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And that's what he does.
Well, Jesus said to Peter, on this rock, the revelation that I am the Christ, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I think what the revelation that Peter had that Jesus blessed is the same revelation that John the Apostle had going in the book of Revelation. We need to learn to define Jesus for who he is in the Word of God. And I wanted to ask you this. I was thinking about this as you were talking. Matthew 25 and verse 1 says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto, and Jesus is talking about the last days. And that word then just stands out to me as if the kingdom is not something now that it will be then. There's going to be a metamorphosis in kingdom operation in the last days. Do you think that we're there? Do you think we're at that time?
We're at a time right now where things are being so accelerated in how they are unfolding. And so whenever he first started, he would point to very simple things and he would say, now the kingdom of heaven is just like that. And I want to just tell you, that was 2,000 years ago. Now, he's still doing that today. He's still pointing to simple things around us. I mean, I can think of scenarios on this very single day that I saw the kingdom in that. But know this, the kingdom is where the king has dominion. And as the dominion of the king is unfolded, so is the kingdom being unfolded. So it's the way that heaven invades earth. It's the way that his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done, your kingdom come. So yeah, that is a progressive revelation that is unfolding before us.
Well, your ministry, there are ministries and then there are end time ministries, and your ministry is certainly an end time ministry. What do you, as we enter into the second half of 2021, what do you hear the Lord saying to the church?
Well, I can tell you that at the beginning of this year, whenever I sought the Lord at the beginning of every year, I fast and pray and say, Lord, what are you saying this year? And what are we doing on this? I want to just tell you that I think that probably the greatest thing that God is doing this year is separating true seekers from mere curiosity seekers. He's separating a lot of the leadership within the body of King Jesus from peacemakers and division makers. There's this huge separation that I can see that is taking place right now from the things that are God and the things that are not of God. And there's actually a verse, Exodus 20:21, and it's a 2021 scripture, says, Moses pressed into thick darkness where the presence of God was, but the people stood afar off.
Yeah.
Right? That there's a division between those people who will seek in for that holy encounter in the scary place, but everybody else is scared. It's very important that you qualify for the next thing that is coming. And how you qualify for that is by not being fearful in this day, by actually being the people that God Almighty has called you to be in spite of the haters, in spite of the mobs, in spite of the uncertainty, and say, no, this is who God Almighty has called us to be, and we will be the people of the Most High God, not on my watch. I'm gonna be who God has called me to be. I'm going to do what God has called me to do, and I'm going to press in into that place. I can tell you also that there have been some other things. The issue with our borders is a huge, it not only is it a national perilous issue, but it is also very much a spiritual issue.
Yes.
And you know, the word of the Lord says, I will be a wall of fire around you and I will be the glory in the midst of you. When the glory is in the midst of us, our borders are protected. Okay. And so it has to do with what we glorify in the midst. That's what it does. And I mean, I live here in Texas. Since the Biden administration has taken over, there's been more than 1 million people that have come across our borders. It is a tremendous crisis, but it is also very much a symbol of something prophetically that is going on with the hearts of men today. And this is one of the ways that I put it. This is a crude way to say it, but I'm just going to say it. The zombies are over the wall. And what I mean by that is the thing that is infecting us, is the thing that wants to infect us and destroy us and kill us. It's not at the gates. It's already over the wall. And you have to position yourself differently to glorify the Lord in the midst of that kind of a mess. And one of the things that I've seen over and over and over again, Brother Allen, is this huge value in the body of King Jesus that says, I'm all about my personal safety and I'm all about making sure I get along with everybody. Well, that's not the kingdom. And I'm sorry, but if your highest priority is your personal safety, you're not going to save boys and girls out of sexual trafficking. You're not going to do mission trips. You're not going to preach the gospel. You're not going to feed the poor. You're not going to get out there. You're not going to do it because it's all about your safety. When they say peace and safety, sudden destruction is coming. And I think that throughout the rest of the year, we will continue to see a polarization. And God's going to say, where are the few people that are in my camp that have pressed into thick darkness where my presence is, while the rest of the people stand afar off because they're scared?
Wow. And I think there's something prophetic too about what's happening with the borders, what's happening nationally and within the church. We're allowing in a group of people that are changing the culture of our church who are not assimilating.
Yes.
And as a result, we're seeing the same thing. I think it's starting in the church and then it happens in the nation. And I've kind of felt like a crazy person crying out a lone voice that immigration may be the most important issue facing the church in America today, because—
Oh, no, you nailed it.
Well, talk to me about that. Why am I not insane by thinking that?
Well, you're not insane. Number one, brother, you really and truly are hearing the Lord speak. God Almighty does speak through current events to the church. And you can see that in Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 3, through what you were talking about. All those things that God is speaking to those regional churches were also regional issues of the day. Every single one of those things that the Lord is saying to them, he was actually speaking through the headlines, just like at the church of Laodicea, when he says, you know, because you're neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of your mouth. I will spew you from out of my mouth. Okay, well, that was literally the headlines of the day, because they had that city had actually advertised that they were the first city on the planet Earth that had both hot and cold water. They had hot water that came in from the north. They had cold water that came in from the south. But the delivery system that the Romans had was an aqueduct system. So by the time it got there, it was all lukewarm. So the Lord was using the headlines of the day to speak prophetically concerning the condition of the heart of the church in that region. And that's exactly why you're nailing it when it comes to this border issue, that we are allowing things from the outside that are not a part of our camp to come in and to change the culture of who we are, to change the priorities of who we are. And in the name of getting along with them, they rob us of everything.
Wow. Well, it seems like that as we move forward, the church kind of divides spiritual warfare. For example, we talk about, you know, Leviathan, but nobody talks about Marxism. And they're both spiritual battles, and the church knows very little about one and a whole bunch about the other. So when we're talking about immigration, and I'm gonna close on this because I know you've got things to do and places to be, but what can the church do in regard to immigration? How can we inform our people what should be doing? What can the church do to stand up in this hour?
Well, number one, get your head out of the lap of the media mess.
Delilah, yeah.
And that Delilah is a demonic spirit that will give you a language that is not God, that will give you priorities that are not God, that will give you values that have nothing to do with the kingdom whatsoever. And I can tell you this, where this is headed and where our nation is headed is absolutely fundamentally important that you have a community. I mean, even today, if you have a tire blowout, you can't just depend upon somebody in society pulling over and helping you. There's such a mess. What you do is you get ready to defend yourself, right? So what do? You call your community. You call your people your love. You call the people that you do your life with. In the body of King Jesus, it is so important that you have a strong community of other believers and that you're hooked up with them. It's not okay if your house is being robbed. That's not going to be okay with me. If I'm in covenant with you, that's not okay with me. I'm going to defend you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to alert others. It's exactly the same way when it comes to this issue. If you're part of the camp that is part of that lion, that lying Delilah spirit, that the job of Delilah is to just is to be a form of peace that is not real. That's what a Delilah spirit is all about. Listen, you can find peace here. It's all going to be good. Everything's going to be fine. But here's what I'm actually, I have an agenda to destroy your life. Yeah. And here's what's real. If our minds and if our heads are in the lap of Delilah, we will become as Samson. And you know what that is? A blind entertainer. You show me the body, you show me the parts of King Jesus that is merely about being a blind entertainer, I will show you a Samson spirit who has had their head in the lap of Delilah. I would say do not be caught up in that.
I actually have a picture of Rembrandt's The Blinding of Samson in my office as a reminder, not only to stay away from those things, but what's at stake. Pastor Troy Brewer, you are a voice in the wilderness, and I want everybody listening to this to go to troybrewer.com and get a hold of all of your resources. You're a blessing, man. Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Pastor Allen. I'm so grateful. Thank you, sir.
But we'll have you back soon and very soon. Those of you that are listening to this, make sure you share. That's the only way we can get this message out, and we'll see you next time, Underground.